producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we continue with Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center, let me remind you that we have a second radio show for you to check out called After the Paracast. If you want to know more, just look to plus.theparacast.com. The Paracast Plus includes After the Paracast, show transcripts, videos, the ad-free version of this show, no network ads, all that for a low subscription price, plus.theparacast.com. So the question I posed to Peter Davenport in our last segment was the variation. How much of a variation do we see of people who appear to be seeing the same thing? Of course, you're talking about coordinating location, but what about verbal descriptions?
Yeah, there is always variation. When you're dealing with human beings, we are not particularly skilled at watching something and then watching something, memorizing it, and then reporting it exactly as it occurred. Your suggestion that you're mentioning the law school examples of how poor eyewitnesses are. However, I would cite the two cases that I focused on during, well, make it four cases. The police officer in St. Louis, June 1st, 2012, very good witness, very reliable. He said, look, Peter, I have nothing to gain by reporting this. In fact, everything to lose, including my job. But what I saw was so flabbergasting that I feel duty-bound to report it to an organization like yours. The next day, the 2nd of June, 2012, Beacon Rock State Park, it was three groups of campers, all of whom reported essentially the same thing at the same time. That's a very good report. Are you a retired U.S. astronaut? Is that a pretty reliable person? I think so. Retired, there's nobody who has a sword of Damocles poised over his neck. And I asked him how good his vision was, and he said it's probably still 20/15. So he got a good eyeball on those six objects that went over his head. And a retired Arizona Highway Patrol officer, you'd have to talk to him, Gene, to really understand how convincing this gentleman was. I tend to trust his report implicitly. So sometimes eyewitnesses are good. Your point is well taken, though. I wish the quality of the reports, both oral reports over the hotline and follow-up written reports over our website, were more thorough, more accurate, more carefully prepared, and so on. But you're dealing with the public. When you deal with the public, you have to roll with the punches.
Right, and you're dealing, for the most part, I would say the bulk of reports are from untrained witnesses. You're mentioning examples from trained observers who you would think would have a little bit better ability to recall exact details. One thing that I've noticed in my work over the years is when a sighting event is shared by a group of people, and when you interview them separately, the variation tends to be the actual duration. Some people think it happens very quickly. Other people, you know, time seems to slow down. So you have kind of a variation in the actual duration of the event. And then the other thing that I've noticed, too, is people sometimes confuse what happened first, then what happened second, third, fourth, that sort of thing. People tend to jumble that up a little bit. For the most part, descriptions, I think, are fairly accurate in terms of color, size, motion. But it's the actual sequence of events and the time duration that seems to ebb and flow a little bit.
Yeah. One of the things that happens, too, is when people see something that they perceive to be really anomalous, the emotion gets involved in it. An emotional witness is not as rock solid as a person who has the self-discipline to remain objective and factual and just record the event as it appears to that witness.
It was beaming me. I knew it, knew I was there. I felt a connection.
Yeah, the touchy and feely part of any sighting, and it occurs to all of us. I've seen UFOs before, and because of my familiarity with the field and my training as a scientist, I was able to get the hard facts, the time, the duration, the angles, the angle of elevation, and so on and so forth. Some of the other people who were with me are not as highly trained in scientific observation as I may be, and we had slightly different renditions with regard to how long it lasted, how much of the sky the object covered during the 5 seconds that we witnessed it, and so on and so forth. So it takes a little bit of training to be a really good observer of an event and report it factually.
And the problem we have with UFOs is we can't predict when the event will occur, so we can't always have the trained observer there. But let me move on to Phoenix Lights, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. We had this covered a couple of three times in the early days of the Paracast. So looking at it, an event from the 1990s here in 2016, what should we know today, absent all the mysticism that has arisen about it, about the Phoenix Lights and their impact in terms of UFO events?
Yeah, there are a couple things I can mention. Number one, we're going to have a convention up here in McMinnville, Oregon in mid-May of 2016 that will focus on the Phoenix Lights if anybody's particularly interested in that event. And they
should. But why up there and not in Phoenix?
Well, because the McMinnville Festival is held in McMinnville, Oregon, southwest of Portland, and they've just taken an interest in it. A lot of past speakers have alluded to it, and they just decided that it would be interesting to focus on it and have all the speakers address or share with their audience what they experienced as a result of that mass sighting. The other thing, this is the take-home message. We have good evidence, and I've played this tape before, of my conversation with a U.S. Air Force airman who was involved in the scramble of two F-15 fighters to pursue some of these objects that were being reported to the Air Force that Thursday night. And the other message is that U.S. military forces, we have pretty good reason to believe, were elevated from Defense Condition 5, which is the lowest condition in that system. The military forces around the world, I presume, were elevated from DEFCON 5 to DEFCON 3 in one step. Also, and I don't know if I've reported this on Paracast before, but we have reason to believe, or suspicion to believe, surmise, that the injury that President William Jefferson Clinton sustained in Florida that night may have been related to the declaration of a DEFCON 3. After all, DEFCON 3, I don't know much about DEFCON statuses, but DEFCON 3, I'm told, is one step short of global warfare.
Okay, so are you saying then that he had this episode as a cover story?
One of two possibilities.
Yeah, where they were hustling him out of a room and he hit his head or something.
Well, it was his knee. And he allegedly sustained an injury that allegedly required him to be spirited back to the Washington, D.C. area so he could undergo surgery on damaged ligaments, I presume it was, at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. Well, that's what the government says. That's what Bill Clinton, publicity manager, says. However, let's look at it from a different vantage point. The biggest UFO event in the history of ufology, that's what the Phoenix Lights were. People from all over Phoenix, from surrounding communities and neighboring states, were reporting gigantic objects that were not just streaking overhead, they were hovering overhead. Even Governor Fife Symington, finally, 10 years later, thanks to the nice work by Leslie Keen, admitted that he had one of these objects go over him. That's a pretty reliable witness by my measure.
You know, when it comes to a politician, though, I tend not to give them a lot of credibility, especially because he had a very checkered history. And speaking of Bill Clinton actually pardoned him for the crimes of which he was convicted. So, you know, we could say, yeah, he admitted it later, and maybe he was telling the truth. But when it comes to politicians in Arizona, just be cautious, my friend. With Gene and Chris and Peter Davenport, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As Chris is weakening by the second here, we have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. Understand, I wasn't trying to denigrate the credibility of what you were saying. Just need to be realistic about the politicians.
Well, I think you were being justifiably cynical. I just would like to remind listeners that I happen to be in Casa Grande just south, about halfway, about a third of the way from Phoenix to Tucson, right off I-10, watching the NCAA basketball tournament when the object flew directly over us. And I went outside after seeing the, you know, the news break in on during a commercial break, saying, you know, they, having the guy standing there with the flares or whatever it was coming on over over Phoenix. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. And I ran outside and there were people out in the parking lot saying, oh, you missed it. Flew right over. And I was, I could have run outside and been right underneath it, too, but I was too busy watching basketball.
Yeah. And interestingly, Chris, thanks for that story. But I would like all of that reduced to written form. Would love to get a report from you. Even though you didn't see it, you were a witness to many, many other people who did.
Yeah, and that's true.
You're one of the 19,999 who have not reported a UFO event. And would love to have that written down and shared with us.
Yeah, I happened to be working in Casa Grande. I was down from Colorado. And, yeah, I was supposed to actually the following night have dinner with Tom King and Stephen Greer and Sherry Adamack and Bill Hamilton and others. And it just serendipity. I was just too focused on watching the – I think it was the Final Four, actually, at that point. Or it may have been the – I think ASU was in the tournament that year, one of the – Arizona schools. And, yeah, there were people outside just, like, scratching their heads going, the thing was huge. I just, you know, to this day, I kick myself. I could have really had, you know, the sighting of a lifetime and just,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, we have a very interesting report from a woman, her husband, their two children, and her mother, I think mother or mother-in-law was in the back with the two children. They were driving to the northwest towards Phoenix from Tucson, and they had the object that I suspect went over Casa Grande go right over them, headed the other direction. They were below it for an estimated 1 to 2 minutes. And Stacy says, you've probably heard about this gal, maybe even had her on as a witness or a guest on the Paracast, but she reports that it completely covered the sky from almost from one horizon to the other as it went over them. She emphasizes how large it was. I use her hand-drawn illustration in my slide presentations to let people know just how large that object was. But it went right down Interstate 10, headed southeast towards Tucson, and went over Casa Grande. They were in Casa Grande, too, when that object went over them.
We don't want Chris to spank himself for missing it. Now, I should point out I was living in Scottsdale at the time. I was busy writing a book about using computers, and thus I had no concern about UFOs. Didn't consider it. Maybe saw it in the paper the very next day. Any case. Now, after all these years, is there anything new that has come out about the case beyond what we've already covered?
Well, what we learned about the case on the night of the event, I would argue, gives us enough evidence to recognize just how dramatic an event it was. The event started in Henderson, Nevada, in the southeast corner of Las Vegas, of course, and those objects were seen by several witnesses to be flying to the southeast. So it was not just a Phoenix-related event. That was sort of a culmination, maybe even an early stage of the event. It was the event that Chris just alluded to, the fact that one of these objects went down Interstate 10, went almost all the way, as far as I know, I don't know all of the details on the matter, but went all the way to Tucson, because we had reports from people who were very close to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, which, of course, is just east of Tucson.
Right. I think it made a turn to the west and disappeared somewhere around Yuma, if I remember.
Yeah, and I was...
And it came all the way down the Prescott Valley. I mean, it came down from Ash Fork all the way down Chino Valley, Prescott Valley, Dewey. It skirted right on the eastern side of the Bradshaw Mountains over the Crown King area, and then it jogged over Lake Pleasant and then went kind of slightly west of of Anthem in that area.
Well, the one thing I would say, you're referring to it as if it was one object. We have reason to believe that there were, thanks to the very fine work by Jim Delatoso and the late Dr. Michael Tanner, we have solid reason to believe that there were at least five objects. And one thing that I like to share with an audience that may have interest in the Phoenix Lights event, a lot of people have been reporting for the last 19 years, well, they were very large, maybe a mile in width. No, I would invite any of our listeners who has experience with trigonometry to do the following calculation. The object that hovered above the Camelback Mountain area for an estimated 5 minutes, Sue Watson and her four children sat on her lawn marveling at this huge object that was above them for an estimated 5 minutes before it suddenly jumped and went down towards Sky Harbor Airport. The object was, we have reason to believe, one of the F-15s intercepted the object at 10,500 feet above ground level. Sue Watson has estimated that it subtended as it sat above her home, and they were sitting looking at it, wondering what in God's name is this horrendous craft above their heads. She estimates that it subtended an arc of about 135 degrees. That's enough information to perform trigonometric calculation of its actual width.
Well, you're talking something miles in width.
Not less than 7.4 terrestrial statute miles in width.
You know, just on the surface, it almost sounds like the huge object seen in the movie Independence Day the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, frightening. Phoenix Absolutely. Lights. We'll have to get into that subject more detail in the future, but there's so much to discuss with you, Peter. I don't want to focus just on this. We want to get back to fireballs for a moment. Chris, there's a long series of questions from Polterwurst about fireballs.
Yeah.
You want to get to some of them now and then maybe a little bit more in our next segment. We have actually about 30 seconds for this segment, so let's just do the break and then we'll get ready to Polterwurst's questions. I mean, we can do a whole show on those. Because
yeah.
they are so detailed.
But we have addressed some of it, so.
Sure, so we can cover some of the rest and keep things going. We want to tell you we have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. The PowerCast is closing in on 10 years on the air without interruption. And on next week's episode, we're going to honor that in some way. It's going to be a surprise. We'll get some surprise guests, people you haven't heard in a while, to cover 10 years of the PowerCast. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. HBExtract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and with Chris on the Paracast, we're talking to Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. In addition to the focus on the Phoenix Lights, we were also covering fireballs. In relation to that, Chris, there are some questions that you can ask from one of our regulars, Polterwurst.
Yeah, he's one of our dedicated listeners in Germany and a real supporter of the San Luis Valley Camera Project, I might add. And he has a number of questions relating to the fireballs, and he's wondering about Foo Fighters. He says that some descriptions seem to match yellow or reddish fireballs during World War II, and he's wondering if there's a possible connection, or could we be seeing something similar? And or do you think, he's asking if you think that this is something else entirely?
Well, it's hard to say. Until we know what the fireballs are, and
right,
until we know what Foo Fighters are, we can't really compare them very effectively. But they certainly seem somewhat similar,
yeah,
in the sense that in both instances, they appeared to the percipients, the witnesses, to be sort of semi-transparent sources of bright illumination. What they are is anybody's guess, but I would remake the point I made earlier in the program. The reason they are so important to us, the reason they're of such great interest, is because we do not know what they are. So it would be inappropriate for me, I feel, predicated on that statement that I've now made twice at the risk of boring our listeners, is it would be inappropriate for me to start making definitive statements as
right,
to what they
of
are
course,
and what they aren't. I just don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm studying it because I don't know and reporting it to the American people, to anybody who bothers to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, we really can't make a determination. It's even hard to determine whether we're just looking at some sort of plasma ionization effect or whether we're actually looking at a physical craft as opposed to a ball of energy. I've had a small red fireball within 100 feet of me traveling alongside my car over a fairly deep arroyo, and it appeared to be about, I don't know, volleyball sized would be probably about the closest, between softball ball and volleyball sized. And, you know, I had a car full of, you know, my band was traveling back from the studio when we saw this. And that definitely looked like some sort of a ball of energy as opposed to some sort of structured craft. Here's another question from Polterwurst. He's wondering, he says, there seems to be little footage of lights or light formations behaving anomalously. I've mentioned before an example on YouTube of one daylight videotape that I find very compelling. But he's wondering if researchers or witnesses are keeping footage to themselves. And he says, for example, if I listen to witnesses from Hasdalen, there are many reports of intelligent maneuvers by or some sort of interaction with lights, but not much in terms of video. And we do know they do have video cameras set up there. So he's wondering if people are keeping some of this data under wraps until they can come up with a definitive conclusion.
Hard for me to say if a person has seen one of these but hasn't reported it, I don't know about it.
Right.
It has to be reported for me to be able to do anything with it. But I'm mildly in disagreement with the claim that there's not good video. I've been posting it for years to our website, video and photos. Just go to UFOcenter.com and scroll down case after case after case after case over the last 4 years, and look at the photographs and look at the video. It's almost as if I'm talking to a brick wall some days.
Or into a vacuum.
But I'm collecting the data and posting it free of charge.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure anybody's paying attention.
Yeah.
A few exceptions. Roger Marsh is following our data pretty closely. A few people in MUFON are. I'm sure the government, U.S. government is, with attention riveted to the phenomenon and to the material I post, but I often wonder whether people are paying attention to Hollywood productions. I get calls all the time from people say, Peter, did you see such and such a broadcast? Well, first of all, I don't have a television by choice. Secondly, in some of those cases, I'm actually in the program. So that's certainly the case with regard to the Phoenix Lights from the early publicity about that event. So I would encourage the individual to go to our website, UFOcenter.com, and just start scrolling through posting after posting after posting, no doubt dozens or hundreds of them since May of 2012, make that.
Yeah. Polterwurst also is wondering about Allison Cruz. Are you familiar with her material? She seems to record light phenomenon regularly, but also thinks they, quote-unquote, might be camouflaging as normal aircraft.
Well, I'd like to see her data. I'd like to see her report.
I think she's up from the Pacific Northwest, isn't she? Gene, does that ring a bell?
It doesn't.
I should remember the name. And
Allison Cruz, K-R-U-S.
And I beg forgiveness if I've met her or seen her data and don't remember. But there are a lot of people who are making a lot of claims.
No.
And what distinguishes them from good hard science is evidence. And she may have good footage, but there are a lot of videos I receive of lights. Most of them show lens flares from photographing a bright source of light, either the sun or the moon. That's the traditional type of photo I receive, is a photograph showing a lens flare or video or still photos of Sirius or Venus or any of the other very bright objects in the nighttime sky.
Airplane headlights coming at you with airplanes with landing lights on. I saw that last night that had me going for about 20 seconds, and then I realized, oh, boy, he's coming into the Prescott Airport, and he's just taking a weird sort of jog.
Yeah, I had one of those experiences fairly recently, too. Probably a KC-135 was approaching Fairchild Air Force Base here, not too far from where I'm located. And I was watching it for 5 minutes. It was a good long ways away, and it had my attention. And then once it got closer, I could see the strobe lights, and I could see the red and green marker lights on the port and starboard wings. So, but it had my attention for several minutes before I realized what I was looking at.
Right. Well, and that's important to underscore that you really need to observe carefully and from a dispassionate, objective point of view, and you know, wait for it to. Generally, a real sighting, and this is not, you know, this is just kind of a general rule of thumb. A real sighting happens much more quickly. Venus hanging in the sky and slowly setting in the west should be fairly easy to determine, even for an untrained observer. So, you know, you have to be careful and take notes. I often try to remind my conference audiences and my book readers to keep a dedicated calendar in your office with large squares on it. And if anything anomalous happens in your neighborhood, any strange weather, anything that appears unusual, just make a little note to yourself on your calendar on the day in which it happens. Put the duration, the time, and a brief description of what it is. And this will allow you later on to then refer back. And, you know, of course, report any anomalous sightings to Peter. But when you look back later on and you start to realize, wow, you know, there's been some things going on, you have it there written down so that you can immediately, your memory is jogged and you can refer back to these, you know, head scratchers that may seem inconsequential at the time. So that's a real good technique that I found works very well. We have some other questions here before we go to break again. And this comes from Raven's Fee.
Let's do the break and then do the question, okay?
Okay.
All right. We have more questions from our listeners, some very, very compelling questions to really advance this discussion. We have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Kurt 70, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We continue with your questions from the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. We have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center with us. Chris?
Again, this comes from Ravensfee. She's a longtime listener from England. And she's wondering, how does the UFO field take advantage of the big data techniques and cheap computing power that are now available to turn UFO reports into meaningful information? In other words, data crunching. We've been hearing about Jacques Vallée wanting to put together the ultimate super database. And from time to time, you hear people, you know, make noises like there's some sort of data crunching going on. Have you attempted to do that, Peter? Have you looked at some sort of spreadsheet where you can look at trends, that sort of thing?
Well, I haven't devoted a great deal of time to that for several reasons. Number one, I'm not a computer guru, and I'm too busy taking reports and servicing calls over the hotline and so on and so forth to have time for that. But the other problem is I question whether it's of any use at all. I get requests, probably half a dozen requests every week. People want the database. Well, let me say right out of the blocks that I've spent 22 years and a great deal of my personal fortune collecting 113,000 reports from the public. I'm not anxious just to sign it off to anybody who walks through the door or gives me a call and expresses a desire to have the database, obviously. But the other thing is, I know the limitations of the data that are in the database. People find it very difficult, one, as we've discussed already, to submit a report at all. Number two, though, is the question of how accurate they are.
Right.
People are constantly getting the date wrong, the time wrong, getting facts all screwed up. And
garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out. And people who want to take all of those reports and process them is exactly that, and that's the term I usually use in responding to these requests, is it's really a waste of time. What is the purpose of it? And I can see none particularly. People say, well, I want to plot where the sighting occurred and we'll track sightings. Well, if you're getting only one out of 20,000 reports, you really don't have a sufficiently large sample of UFO sightings in general to be able to do anything of particular interest or significance. So probably the greatest thing we've done with technology is set up databases and set up online report forms so people, shortly after they've seen a UFO, can report it while they still remember the facts. So that's probably the greatest thing that the Internet has done for us, is allow people to submit written reports very quickly in a timely fashion. Also, of course, we've been using the telephone for a long time, but oral reports over the telephone are almost of no use whatsoever, I find. And the hardest thing, the hardest aspect of my job as director of the National UFO Reporting Center is trying to get people to write down the details of their sighting. They want to talk and talk and talk. They'll take an hour of your time talking about their sighting. But when I say, would you please take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to write all these facts down, that's when you hit the brick wall. I've never seen so many excuses in all my life as to why a person cannot write down the facts that they want to take an hour to tell you over the telephone. So I'm digressing here a little bit, but the Internet is probably the greatest boon to the UFO field. One of the things I would like to address, a lot of people are saying, well, we should use all these cell telephones that are out there for photographing objects and reporting them and communicating about a given sighting. Well, I've received a lot of those reports from cell telephone owners, and more often than not, the quality of those reports is not very good. They don't take the time to craft a written statement with all of the details, where they were, what the time and date were, what direction they were looking, the angle of elevation, how big the object appeared to be relative to a star, a planet, or a full moon in the sky. That's what we need, is the carefully prepared report, not the hastily submitted report. So technology may be actually becoming a hindrance to the quality of UFO reports.
Well, here's a question from William Stratham, and it involves trace case incidents in recent years.
Oh, yeah.
As an aside, it seems to me, based on my limited finger on the pulse of sighting events, that we're seeing less and less landings, and that objects are tending to be reported, I think, less we have less reports of objects in close proximity to witnesses. They seem to be staying further away or something. Is there truth to that? Have we had any real good quality landing in trace cases recently?
Well, I just covered one last week on a late night radio talk show about a gentleman in Colorado Springs who alleges to have had some kind of event occur in his bedroom where he and his wife and their pet dog were sleeping. My suspicion is that those cases are taking place, but it's very difficult, as I've reported already, to get people to report these. Oftentimes they're so confused and flabbergasted by what they've experienced that they just don't report them. But there are a lot of cases that I've covered and presented on radio of sightings of objects that appeared to have been very close to the witness. I can think of a whole bunch of them. One in particular comes from Oklahoma, northern Oklahoma. A woman was in a fog bank driving on an interstate, and suddenly the fog surrounding her turned orange. And just about that time, she drove out of the cloud of fog, and here are a number of orange objects hovering directly above the interstate ahead of her. And her illustration that she provided to our center is posted on our homepage. But I think those events are taking place. It's just that it's very difficult to get people to sit down and say, yep, I'm going to report this one to an authority that can use it and post it and let the world know about it.
That leads me to think here that the agencies, the private agencies that are set up to collect UFO information, maybe aren't getting the word out. I kind of thought that MUFON would stand some success with that TV show, but it doesn't seem to be working that way.
Yeah. Well, the problem is people have to be motivated, and trying to motivate people is one of the most difficult jobs that any human being has. People have to first of all, recognize that they've seen something that is unusual and deserves reporting. Then they have to be sufficiently motivated to find an organization like the National UFO Reporting Center or MUFON where they can report it. And then they have to sit down and write it out and spell check it and copy and paste it into the form. This amount of work is a hurdle, an insurmountable barrier for many people.
Also, the fact is that you don't see as much coverage of UFO cases in the media, and we don't have print media like we used to have. It's all online, so it's ephemeral. It's not something where you get the daily newspaper and it sits there and it says UFO seen in the next town over, and that's something you could refer to. But if you see a website with that information, well, you go to the next site and maybe you don't get back to it. The permanence of news is history.
Yeah, that's right. The nature of the news industry has changed dramatically in the last quarter century. And I'm not sure it benefits accurate, meaningful reporting of the UFO phenomenon. As you point out, and I think it's a good observation, is news today is ephemeral. You can see a report 1 minute, and you try to go back to it 10 minutes later, and it's gone.
And this happens with my wife all the time. She sees something on TV on one of the cable news networks, and she says, look that up. And maybe I'll even go to the site that organization runs.
Yeah.
And the site will be disorganized. It won't be up to date. The same people who are updating the news on the TV show are not necessarily updating the site. And when they do, it's buried away somewhere that you have to find it. And again, there's no printed copy. We seem to think that's important. There's so much information out there.
Yep.
But if you have the printed copy sitting there, the morning fish wrapper doesn't exist anymore like it used to. And if it does, it's thinner. There's less coverage. The staff is smaller because there's not enough advertising. So therefore, there's only so much content they could print affordably. We got a lot more to cover as we continue with Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.